Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. I am solo today. Lance Meadow was supposed to be with me, but he is stuck on jury duty. Which, of course, I feel bad for whoever ends up getting Lance Meadow in his jury. And you look over there and you got this little guy, you know, trying to decide your fate. So good luck to the U.S. legal system on that one. But I kind of reached out late. It's my fault. I didn't get the Tino in here quick enough, so I'm flying solo with you. So we're going to open up the phones early and often, folks. It'll be me and you talking some Giants football. 201-939-4513. You'll get plenty of time. I'll take you guys. We'll have nice conversations, go back and forth, and have a lot of fun, all right? So a few things I want to get to today. First, currently with the New York Giants, OTAs start on Monday, and I'll start by explaining the difference between OTAs and what the Giants have been doing so far this year in their offseason conditioning program. Very simply, contact rules more or less remain the same. You're not wearing pads, you can't tackle, you can't have sustained contact, you're not supposed to even really have bump and run at the line of scrimmage or anything like that. So those rules remain the same. And in those circumstances, it's very hard to judge things like offensive line play, defensive line play, even running backs and linebackers to a certain extent when it comes to physicality, tackling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing that does change, and this is why OTAs can be a little bit more fun when you start getting into this part, and it's phase three technically of the offseason program, is that you can now have offense and defense on the field at the same time. You can have guys go one-on-one with each other. We're not going to see one-on-one O-line, D-line, because, again, that's too much contact. You don't want that. That's against the rules with the CBA. But you will see some of the stuff we saw briefly at the voluntary veterans minicamp that they had a few weeks ago, and that's some 7-on-7s, some 11-on-11. You'll get to see some of the wide receivers go one-on-one with these cornerbacks. And I think it really opens the door to some insight here as to what the Giants have in store for 2015. And I think the things that I'll be watching are pretty simple. And I think you have to look to the skill position guys, again, because of the format you have here in terms of contact, what they're allowed to do. So we saw Sterling Shepard on the field at rookie minicamp, and to me, he was clearly the best player on the field. He was fantastic. He was wonderful. But now let's see Sterling Shepard on the field against some of the veteran corners, some of the guys that have made Pro Bowls, been a big part of NFL teams and have had success in years past. Guys like Janoris Jenkins, guys like Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Can Shepard still get that type of separation that he got at rookie minicamp, that he got consistently at Oklahoma? Can he do that against some of the veterans to turn things around and continue to progress as a rookie? Can he do it? We'll see. That's one of the things I'm going to watch. The second thing I'm going to watch stays in the secondary area, and that's the safety position. We know one starter is Landon Collins, but who's the second starter? And there are five or six guys, all young players, that will be competing for that starting spot next to Landon Collins. You have this year's third-round pick, Darian Thompson. Second-year player, Mykel Thompson. Third-year player, Nat Burhe. Second-year player, Justin Curry. And fourth-year player, Cooper Taylor. So they're all young guys. They've all done some things on the field with the Giants. Most of them have been hurt, so they haven't done a whole lot. Bennett Jackson in that mix, too, a third-year guy. I forgot about him. There's so many of them. But you can see, at least in OTAs, whether or not they're lining themselves and their teammates, because, again, the safety has some alignment and leadership responsibilities pre-snap. Are they doing those things right? Are they smart? Are they picking up the defense quickly? And then the other things you can figure out is whether or not and how quickly, if they do, are they reading the quarterback? Do they read route combinations? How quickly do they break on footballs? What are their instincts like? What type of angles do they take to not only ride receivers, but also ball carriers? Those are the type of things you can see out of the safety position and get a feel for how these guys are progressing and how the Giants might use them going forward. So what do you want to see at OTAs? What are you keeping your eye on? What are your pressing issues right now for the Giants that you really think need to get sorted out by the time the 2015 regular season gets going? I think really that's what you're taking a look at here with the Giants, with their OTAs, getting started this week. That's one topic. Give us a call, 201-939-4513. Topic number two, and this comes from a Twitter, I'll call it a conversation. It was a bit of an argument back and forth. Sonny Boy, one of our loyal Twitter followers, tweeted me, who do you think is going to finish with a better career, or with the best career, excuse me? Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Phillip Rivers. Well, I put Manning and Roethlisberger neck and neck in terms of how they're going to finish their career. They both have two Super Bowls, a lot of success, a lot of wins, two good franchises, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Rivers, to me, in terms of as good of a player as he is, and I like Phillip Rivers, I think he's still a level below Manning and Roethlisberger in terms of the amount of success that they've had. But we started going back and forth and comparing the supporting cast that Roethlisberger and Manning have had. And it got me thinking about the wide receivers that Eli Manning has had here with the New York Giants. So just for fun, besides the current stuff going on with the team, we could talk all about that, obviously. If you want to do a little history, I think it's an interesting conversation. If you were a quarterback, which combination of Giants wide receivers would you want? Do you want the Beckham-Sterling-Shepard combination? I'm going to slide Cruz out of that because we're going to have him in a different one. Do you want Beckham and whoever plays with Beckham? Well, you know, Ruben Rand, you could take him, Sterling-Shepard. Do you want the Victor Cruz-Akeem Nix combination, which helped the Giants win the Super Bowl in 2011? Or do you want the Plaxico Burress-Amani Toomer combination, which helped the Giants win the Super Bowl in 2007? I'm not talking third receivers now. So Steve Smith isn't in the mix. Mario Manningham's not in the mix. I'm talking just the duo. Who do you like best? Do you like Burress Toomer? Do you like Nix Cruz? Or do you like Beckham slash teammate? And that can be Randall or Dwayne Harris or Shepard, but not Cruz. So those are the questions. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 201-939-4513. Anything else you want to talk about, too, continue to do draft review and things like that. We thank you for joining us on Twitter, folks. If you want to continue to watch the show, go to Giants.com. You can watch the show in its entirety. From now until the end of the show, it's me and you on the phones at 201-939-4513. Let's go to Hunter in New Jersey. He wants to talk about the tight ends. Hunter, you're up first. What's going on, pal?
A long-time listener, first-time caller. Always wanted to say that, but
Giants drafted
Jarrell Adams in the sixth round, I want to say, this year.
Yep.
And Larry Donnell is coming up injury. The Giants said he should be fine from what I've heard. And Will Pye had a pretty good rookie season. What do you think the Giants do at tight end this year, and how many snaps does Jarrell Adams get?
You know, it's a good question, and I think Jarrell Adams' snaps will be affected by a couple things. One, how quickly he comes along as a receiver, because as many physical skills as he had the best 40 time of all the tight ends at the draft. He's long, he's athletic, and there are things that say, you know what, he could become a good wide receiver, but he's very raw in terms of his route running, detail-oriented stuff, and, you know, things of that nature. So that's one thing that's going to affect his playing time. What's going to help his playing time, Hunter, is that he probably is the best blocking tight end on the team. Both Ty and Donnell struggle in that area, and while Jarrell Adams is still young and he's figuring things out, he showed a willingness and ability to block in college. So that's going to get him on the field early and often. He's a good inline blocker, which the Giants need. Now, the last thing that will affect his playing time is how the Giants are going to use Will Johnson. He's a guy that they brought in from Pittsburgh. I talked to him the other day. The interview will be up on Giants.com either end of this week or next week. And he said he considers himself an H-back. And as you know, an H-back is kind of a combination of a fullback and a tight end. So depending on how they use Will Johnson in a blocking role, because I think that really is his strength, that could affect how much and in what role Jarrell Adams plays in year number one as well. I would look at Adams more as a developmental guy down the road, and if he helps in year one, Hunter, it'll probably be more in a dual or triple tight end blocking capacity on the line of scrimmage.
Right, thank you.
No problem. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. 4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We have some open lines, folks, so feel free to get in, talk some Giants football, and I'll try to keep an eye on hashtag Giants Chat as well, and I'll go through some of your tweets. I also have some of your draft predictions that I haven't gone through yet, so maybe I can go through some of those as well. And if you want to throw in any predictions for the season, you can do that too. We always have fun with those. I can put up on the wall, and we can kind of review those at the end of the year. And like with all things NFL, it's unpredictable, and usually people are dead wrong, including me. So it's something we can at least have a little bit of fun with. 201-939-4513. Mitch is in Orlando. He's up next. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing great, Mitch. What's up?
I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
I know we just signed, we drafted Eli with in the first round.
Yeah.
And we just signed Jenkins, I think his name is.
Yeah, Janoris Jenkins, Jackrabbit.
Like 5-year contract.
Yep.
Yeah. I was seeing talks on ESPN Pro Football talking about we should trade DRC. I think that's pretty, why would we do that in the first place?
Trade him.
You know, we need three cornerbacks. And you know, in this league right now.
Yeah, I'll be honest.
It's basically a...
Yeah, Mitch, look, I agree. I haven't seen that, to be honest with you. If someone wants to send me a link on hashtag Giants Chat, I'll check it out during the show. But that's the first time hearing about it. Eli Apple's a young kid. He doesn't have a ton of experience. To trade DRC now, I don't think makes a whole lot of sense, to be honest with you. You want him with Jenkins and Eli Apple to roam that secondary and, you know, teach a little bit and things like that. I also think DRC is someone that can help Janoris Jenkins along too, to be quite honest with you, given Jenkins coming to a new team, has to learn. And, you know, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is really one of the guys that has been here a long time and then probably gets the defense and understands it. So, no, I'm with you. I agree. I don't know why you would trade Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie or try to. I think you keep him here and you have a real good player. You put him out there. And you hope he makes a difference in the secondary of the defense.
Yeah, I think he's a top-10 corner in the league. I don't know why we would trade him in the first place. I think he's top-10 in speed, everything.
Yeah.
My second question, I'm going to listen to it off-air. What do you think would be starting running back at the end of the day come first game of the season against the Cowboys? I know everybody's pretty high in, I think, the fifth round we drafted. And I've seen a stat, he was statistically the best running back coming out of the draft this year. So
yeah, there are a couple. Yeah, Mitch, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the call, man. You know, here's the thing. If I had to place a bet, and I think you probably get pretty good odds on it too, I think the heavy favorite for, you know, week one, first snap, first and 10 against the Dallas Cowboys is Rashad Jennings. I mean, he's done it. He had a good close to last year. Is he a star? In the classic sense of the word, no. But I think he gets the job done. You can trust him. He's studious. He knows the playbook. He can block. He can catch. He can run. He actually can be a three-down back. I think you want to limit his carries to keep him healthy. But if he isn't the guy that's on the field first and 10 against Dallas, I would be surprised. Paul Perkins is somebody who has third-down ability, but you have Vereen in that spot. You know, Perkins is quick and fast, not necessarily a power between the tackles type of back. I think Pro Football Focus, and I can check it, I have the book in front of me. I think he had the top elusive rating of all the running backs in this year's draft, which is great. That shows he can make people miss in the hole. He's got quickness side to side. That's shown in his 3-cone and 5-cone drills. But there are things he's to get better at. You know, he's not a great blocker yet in the passing game, and I think he has to improve on that before he becomes a third down back. And I mentioned not really a guy that is going to power you in the middle of the line of scrimmage. So I don't think he's ready to start yet. I think that's a guy down the road you develop as a fifth-round pick. Andre Williams has to show him something this offseason. He's got to step up his game and show he's a good player that's still improving. Then you have Darkwa and Bobby Rainey. You know, it's really a deep position of running back, which I think – will help the Giants have a lot of options to decide what they want to do when they decide what running backs to put on the field and when this year. But I think week one, it's going to be Jennings. What is week 10 or week 17? I think that's a tougher question. You know, how quickly does a rookie come along? Does Jennings stay healthy? That could change. But for week one, if it's not Rashad Jennings, I'd be pretty surprised. assuming, of course, that he's healthy. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. One remind fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play, back to the phones. Dave is in Manhattan. He's up next. Dave, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, Dave. What's up?
Got a quick question. It's very rare that I call in. I only call in when I have, like, something really to say.
Nah, go ahead, man. I'm happy.
It's been beaten like a dead horse. What's up with the right tackle position?
Right now, Marshall Newhouse is your starter. I will give the fans out there a little bit of a sneak preview. I had a chance to talk to Bobby Hart yesterday, Dave, but him and three or four other guys will be kind of put up on Giants.com over the next couple of weeks. And Bobby Hart told me that he's lost a bunch of weight in the offseason. They wanted him to get quicker. He's done that. And right now he's being worked at right tackle. So I think that's a guy that maybe could challenge Marshall Newhouse. Bobby Hart said his goal obviously is to start, but he's just trying to become a better player. But I think right now the primary competition for Newhouse at right tackle is probably going to be Bobby Hart.
You know what? I was thinking the same thing. I mean, he played right tackle at Florida State with Jameis Winston. He wasn't bad there.
Right.
I agree that, you know, loss of the weight will help out his footwork, getting around the edges. But, you know, you can't start the season with Marshall Newhouse again. You know, he played, you know, he's a backup. I know the Giants brought him aboard because he played in Green Bay, and he worked with McAdoo there. But, you know, he's a backup. He's not a starter. I was hoping Jerry Reese would have addressed it in the offseason, a free agency or in the draft. I know they wanted Conklin. And they didn't address it with the undrafted guys. I didn't see one tackle on the undrafted. But I'm looking out here now on who's available in free agency, and I'm not seeing many names out there. You know, there's really not much.
No, look, Dave, you're right, and I agree. I don't think there's anybody that's out there right now that you can bring in and say he's my right tackle solution. But maybe, and look, I know the date isn't important as it used to be under the new CBA, because you can designate guys a June 1st cut, but maybe you have somebody cut loose after June 1st, or maybe, you know, third week of training camp when they start doing first and second cuts, you have a veteran come free. And maybe that's somebody the Giants can consider to bring in here if they're not happy with the job Newhouse is doing in the summer. So I think you keep your options open. I think you would hope that if you're going to challenge Newhouse and give him a competition, you already have a young guy in Hart, you bring in a veteran, which, you know, can still happen. But I agree. Right now, look, right tackles have become very valuable in this league, almost as valuable as left tackles. They get paid. And that was one of the reasons the Giants had trouble finding one in free agency. So they'll work on it. They'll keep their options open. But for now, they got a veteran in Newhouse, a young guy in Hart, and they're going to duke it out.
I have one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is I never thought I'd be saying this, but what is the possibility that Jerry Reese might look into bringing back Will Beatty, just maybe on a one-year deal on the cheap? You know, he can play right tackle. I don't know what his health is. He's had that shoulder injury, that eye injury 1 year, but he's always been injured. But, you know, I think what are the chances of that? I never thought I'd be saying it, but you think Jerry Reese might go that route and bring him in on 1 year on a cheap and see what he still has left? I know he's 31.
You know, Dave, it's a question I've gotten on Twitter. I'm not sure I've answered it on the show before. I have trouble believing that Beatty would come back here after being, you know, cut basically this year and being let go. I don't believe he's healthy yet. Last I heard, he was still rehabbing.
I don't think another team is going to take a chance on him. You know, he's from the Giants his whole career. You know, he's 31. I don't think another team is going to take a chance on him. I don't think he has much of a choice.
Well,
the Giants gave him a chance, he might look into it, but and once again, I don't know what Jerry's thinking.
Well, here's the thing, too. You know, any team's going to be willing to give him a veteran minimum type of deal with guarantees if he makes the roster, because that's a no-risk type of commitment. So there will be teams that will be willing to do that. And the other question you have to ask yourself then, can Will Beatty play right tackle? Or is he primarily a left tackle? Can he go over there and block in the running game? Or is he only comfortable on the left side? I think that's a question whether or not he's a fit. If you want to keep Eric Flowers at left tackle, I think that's a question you have to ask yourself. Would I close the door on the idea? No. I get where you're coming from. Heck, I made the argument way back in January that I thought they should have kept Will Beatty here because of this situation. He just gives you another option.
Yeah, I agree.
So, to me, I don't mind that they got plenty of cap space, which is one of the reasons I didn't think they had to necessarily let him go. But again, I don't think he's healthy yet. He said he's not going to sign anywhere, even meet with teams until the middle of June, I think he said, based on his injury injury in his shoulder and him getting back from that. So I think it's a wait and see. It's just an odd circumstance for a team to cut a guy and then for him to come back a few months later with his tail tucked between his legs. You know what I mean?
Understand it. Now, if Bobby Hart makes the right tackle position, who's going to play the right guard? Is it going to be Jerry?
Yeah, John Jerry. And honestly, I think the Giants are fairly comfortable with John Jerry.
He's all right.
You know, he isn't the perfect player. You would like to have him be much better in the run game. He's not the most mobile guy. I mean, it's not his fault. He's 6'6", 350 pounds. You're not going to have a guy running around at that height and weight. But I think they're okay with him at right guard. For the time being, they think he can protect Eli Manning, which obviously is mission number one. So you also then have a veteran next to Hart if he happens to, again, go out there and win that job. So we'll see.
The only thing is I got to say, John, I'll end with this.
Yeah.
You know, if I was the opponent, I would send pressure to the Giants' right side all day, every day. And then when Eli tries to get that ball out early with the little dink and dunk passes in the West Coast system, I'd have my linebackers jump the routes, or the corners jump the routes, lead to a lot of tip balls and tip passes, which will lead to interceptions. And that's what's happened to Eli in the past. So I really hope they get that right side fixed, because you can't have any deficiencies on the line, because it will leave you predictable for the defense, and that's how they're going to start with the interception. So I really hope that they get this right side fixed. It's been going on for a while, but I have faith in Jerry Reese. So we'll see what happens, okay?
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. You take care, guys.
And a couple things. One on the Hart thing. Again, he said he's working at guard. He's also working at tackle. But right now he said his quote, I think, was his focus is at tackle right now. So he also said he can go inside and play in there if they need him. But he did drop a significant amount of weight. I mean, he stood next to me and I was like, wow, dude, you look different. So he did a lot of work in the offseason. I think he said he dropped between 20 and 25 pounds, if I recall. And, you know, he's slim, he's svelte, and he's ready to go, which is always exciting. We'll see whether or not he can break into the lineup. Remember, he was a late-round pick last year, folks. He was a developmental guy. But he did play at a big program in Florida State. He started at right tackle there. Maybe they have something they could figure it out. But he'll have to earn that job on the field by practicing in OTAs and in training camp, in minicamp. It will not be given to him. 201-939-4513. There was something else off that call I was going to mention at the very end. I don't remember what it was, but I'm sure it'll click in my head shortly. Back to the phones. Andre is in Rochester. He's up next. Dre, what's going on?
Hey, not much, John. How you doing?
Doing great, Andre. What do you got?
Being there of just because of our defense was so bad last year, and given that I'm a fan, though, I seem to notice that there is a lack of captains on the defensive side of the ball. I was wondering if there is going to be any kind of fixing or put some patches on Pierre Paul or DRC or something.
You know, Andre,
your thoughts, and I'll take it off air.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you, Andre. I think that's a great question. We actually had this, me and the staff here, some of our production staff, we were having this conversation in our studio the other day, and we were kind of just, you know, shooting the breeze and trying to figure out who the defensive captains are going to be. You know, Colin Jenkins, at least at this point, he's still a free agent. He's not here anymore. And they really haven't had that linebacker leader for a while. If I had to guess who the defensive captains would be, Snacks Harrison, not to me the super serious guy that's going to get in front of the room and be like that guy. I know Dominic Rogers-Cromartie doesn't want the job, because last year he tried to say Prince was the leader of the cornerbacks. When Prince said it was him, DRC was like, no, 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 not me, not me. So I'd be shocked if it was Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. Then again, his teammates could vote him in. Who knows? Jasper Brinkley, I think, is a possibility. If he's the starter at middle linebacker, you could throw Keenan Robinson into the mix there too, I suppose. You know, middle linebacker is always a good potential captainship right there. And then quite frankly, with the personal and professional growth of Jason Pierre-Paul, and I know he's just on a one-year deal, not out of the realm of possibility if you want to get a defensive lineman in there. Because Olivier Vernon's kind of a quiet guy, maybe, but he's his first year here. Usually first-year guys, you know, captain, not sure I'm buying that. So I would say JPP's a possibility. I honestly would. And maybe Landon Collins can grow into the role as well out there at safety. Maybe not yet, but maybe in a couple years I could see him doing the job. There was something else too. And Dave, you can nod or shake your head no. Somebody told me the other day that McAdoo talked about not having captains this year. Is that true? Give me a nod, yes or no. Okay. Someone said that to me. I'm not sure if it's true. So that's something I've heard. I don't know if it's true or not, but something to keep in mind. That's a, I'll call it a rumor, whatever you want. But I cannot confirm or deny that. But that is something I heard rumblings of, that they might not have captains this year. I don't know. But you still want leaders. Whether or not they got the C on their chest or not doesn't matter. You want the guy in the locker room on the field that's going to lead. So who's going to lead? And I think on defense, that'll be something else to watch in OTAs and minicamp and in training camp. Who steps up and is a vocal leader? Because you need those guys. You know, back in the day, you had Antonio Pierce. You had Sam Madison. You had Strahan. You had Tuck. Guys like that. Who's the guys now that's going to do that? Not sure. We'll have to find out. 201-939-4513. Jay in Brooklyn is up next. Jay, what's happening?
What's going on, John?
What's up, Jay?
I just got a quick question. It's kind of twofolded.
Yeah.
I want to know if the Giants are very, very sure that they – well, not sure. Are they comfortable with the running back that they have on roster? Because if you look at next year, it's a stacked draft.
Oh, absolutely.
You got Fournette, you got Cook, you got McCaffrey, mm-hmm. Chubbs, Gallman. It's stacked. All those guys are above 200, like close to 6'1", and all pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean,
if we
look,
get one, if we get one of those guys, like, then this running back by committee nonsense goes away.
No, Jay, I agree. I'm with you 100%. And look, I think that's why I kind of question why, you know, Dallas was after Ezekiel Elliott so high, considering all the running backs coming out next year. They're comfortable with their group for this season. Would they hesitate to add a big time back in the draft? No, I don't think they would. And quite frankly, if Elliott was sitting there at 10, I think that would have been an option for him this year too, if he was available.
Honestly, I would rather like pass. I would personally, if he was there, I would have passed on him, only because I know Fournette's coming out, and I know he's one of those guys that you trade down for. Personally, that's how I believe.
You mean trade up for him?
I'm a big LSU fan.
You mean trade up?
I would definitely trade down for him. Yeah,
you mean up?
Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. So also tight ends, because it seems like we have been missing on tight ends for the longest time now. we get serviceable guys, guys that can come in and put up 500, 600 a year.
Yeah.
But we never get that guy like that Shockey. I've always told my friends that if Shockey was calm and, like, not as tempered as he was before,
yep.
and he stayed in the system, I think him and Eli would have been something like a Witten and a Romo.
I agree with that. I think that's fair.
Do you see us, like, are you comfortable with the Titans that we have on roster right now?
I would like to have one guy that was more of a two-way player that could, you know, be a really that can be a solid receiver and a solid blocker. I think Danelle and Ty both lean towards being better receivers than they are blockers right now. While Adams, the rookie, is probably a better blocker or is a better blocker than he is a receiver at this point in terms of polish. I think you can get by with the guys. I think you're fine. I think so. Will Ty last year, he was a fairly dependable wide receiver in terms of what he could do. While Danelle probably has more big play upside, getting down the seam, things like that. So I think they can get away with it. Are they going to get a Pro Bowler from that group? Probably not. But
right.
I think you can run your offense with the guys they have there, absolutely.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it. But would the Giants hesitate to pick a guy if he's sitting there? No. Like, if Hunter Henry was sitting there for the Giants in the second round this year, I think that would have been a consideration. I don't think they would have shied away from that. 201-939-4513. Again, we could talk about the current team. I got a couple guys on the line who want to talk about the wide receiver groups as well. And my question to the fans out there was, which wide receiver group, or duo, I should say, not group, duo, do you like the best? Burris Toomer, Beckham slash someone that's not named Victor Cruz, or Hakeem Nicks Victor Cruz? Which is your wide receiver combo? Heck, you can go back and give me Stephen Baker, Mark Ingram if you want. I'll buy that too. How about Toomer Hilliard? I'll throw them into the mix. Do you like Tooms and Ike? Maybe you like that. Give us a call. Let me know what you think. But, of course, everything New York Football Giants current as well. Fans, remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way that we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, how you been, buddy?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing
haven't
great.
Talked to you in a while.
I know. What's going on?
Well, not much. I just want to bring you up to date real quick on my thinking. I talked to Lance and Paul about this, and
yes. then
we'll move on to something else. I like the off-season moves so far. I think we're a better team today than we were at the end of the season.
Absolutely.
I think we've made some additions that
yep.
have really strengthened the team, and you know, I'm looking forward to the season. On the defensive side, on that leadership role, you know, it's hard for a new person, John, to come in and you know, go into the locker room and you know, speak up, speak loudly, and suddenly have everybody turn to him and
I agree
and follow him.
Yep.
So I think the logical guy, and I think he's ready for it. I think he's ready for it. Is JPP? He's been through a lot. And I think he's the defensive leader. At least that's who I'm counting on from the defensive side of the ball.
That's fair.
Not just to produce, but to, you know, drag these guys along and run that locker room. So I'm looking to JPP to do that.
That's fair.
I wanted to talk about the offensive side of the ball and wonder what your thinking is regarding, I mean, do we, you know, it's easy to say let's score more. It seems like a lot of the major moves in the offseason were on the defensive side of the ball.
Not surprising.
Especially in free agency.
Right.
How do we get more out of this offense? I mean, you know, I look at it and I see, geez, I mean, maybe we're tapped out. You know, 425 completions from Eli. How many more are we going to get?
Well, to me,
I mean,
Len,
he's not going to complete 600 out of 600, John,
to me,
obviously.
To me, there are two areas where this offense can get better. And I think you can maybe significant improvement is a little strong given they were already, what were they, the seventh or eighth ranked offense the league last
year,
whatever they were.
Yeah, right.
I think you can get better running the ball more consistently, which I think you saw a bit towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
You can get a little bit better by giving Eli a little bit better protection. Now, you haven't seen necessarily the names change on the line, but maybe Eric Flowers can continue to get better in his second year. Pugh gets a little bit better at left guard, being there for a second straight year. So maybe your protection gets a little better. And I think the third way that you can get a little bit better on offense, I'll throw in a third, is your second wide receiver be more consistent. And I think last year you had Reuben Randall be Reuben Randall. That's why he's not here anymore. Dwayne Harris, to me, is a third guy. He's not your two. So can Sterling Shepard be here and be a good two? Or can Victor Cruz get healthy and be a very solid two to Beckham to draw some of that attention off of him on the other side of the field? To me, those are the three areas the offense can get better to go from being a top 10 offense to being a top 5 offense.
Now, John, let me, and I agree with everything that you said there. All of those things are true, I think, and a good starting point. But how do we, I mean, give me some ideas in terms of, I mean, how do we turn that into production? What, I mean, what is that? More protection for Eli means what?
I think more protection
more,
for
Eli. Does it mean more completions?
I think it means a more yards per completion. I think the ability to get the ball down the field a little bit more.
Okay. You know, and on you know, opposite Beckham, he'd be my guy, by the way, in answer to your question. Give me Beckham and anybody else. I'll take that tandem.
That's fair.
I'll take that group.
Right.
You know, as tough as we were on Reuben Randall, you know, there's some numbers there, John. 60 catches, 8 touchdowns, 800 yards.
I think it's consistency, though, Len. I think we saw too much in fits and starts. Like, did you have a lot of confidence that on a 50-50 ball, you're throwing it to Reuben Randall, that he's the one that's going to come down with it?
I'm not arguing for keeping Randall Johnson.
Right, I know.
I just want to know how do we match those numbers?
I think you.
I mean, those are pretty good numbers.
No, they are absolutely, and I think you look at Cruz and Shepard. You know, depending on Cruz's health, and then now look, I know it's tough looking to a rookie. I know it is. I'm not going to argue that, but I think with all the attention Beckham gets, I think you have a great opportunity for production from that spot, even if it's not a, you know, top-notch number one or even number two wide receiver.
Okay. Now, you know what? One thing I'd like to see, and I think everything that you mentioned kind of leads up to this, John.
Yeah.
Longer possessions.
Yeah.
You know, fewer three and outs. Better field position. We're able to open things up a little bit. More stops on defense to give us the ball more.
How about a better red zone percentage? That would be very helpful.
Red zone, okay, yep. Yeah. Better red zone percentage.
And if you want to look
at all of the things that we talked about, I think, you know, better blocking on the from the offensive line.
Yeah.
More consistency, et cetera, all lead to those sorts of things in which maybe we have more plays from scrimmage. More plays from scrimmage, you know, gives us more yardage. By the way, on the tight ends, John, I mean, 90 catches. I mean, that's a lot of catches for the tight end position.
What are you talking about, 90 catches?
I think combined last year we had 90 catches.
Did they have that many? Let me look at it. You might be right. Yeah. Let me double check that. But look, I think if you're looking for production, Len, I should have mentioned this in my initial list. I was thinking more about personnel than I was about production per se. I think getting better in the red zone is really a spot where if you want to see significant production improvement, I think where you're looking at is the red zone, and I think that's where you're going to get.
Who helps us now? What do we have that's different that can help us here? I agree. You know, more touchdowns than field goals.
By the way, Will Tye and Donnell combined for 71 catches last year. Tye had 42, and Donnell had 29. And I think in the red zone, I think Donnell being healthy helps. To be honest with you, with his height and his size, if you remember what he did against the Redskins a couple years back with those jump balls, and I think number two, it gets back to one of the things we talked about: running the ball better. I think to be a really good.
If you still have it on your screen,
yes.
Give me the catches for the other three tight ends.
On the Giants, you're talking about?
Yeah. Last year.
Well, you had Tye at 42, Danella 29, Jerome Cunningham at 8, Daniel Fells at 6, and Matt Lacoste at 3.
Okay, so if we put that all together, it's maybe not quite 90. We're somewhere in the 80s.
Yeah, and that's fine. But I think in the red zone, Len, run the ball better. And I think that is a huge – and we've said it a million times. I'm not breaking any news here. To be good in the red zone, you got to be able to run the football because teams are going to be stacked and your guys got to beat their guys. And I don't think that happened enough for us last year inside the 5, inside the 10.
Okay, one more quick question.
Yeah, be quick.
I want to stay on the offensive side.
Yeah.
Some talk in the offseason regarding, you know, getting more out of Vereen. Used differently, John. I mean, well, how do we get more out of her? Again, I'm looking at 425 completions, 85 plus to the tight ends, 90 to the running back. I mean, the running backs caught 90 balls.
Yes. Well, look, I don't think that's a surprise given how McAdoo runs his system.
I agree. Now, is it, you know, Vereen on the field more? I mean, how do we get more out of Vereen? I think he's a key to this getting more out of the offense, John. Maybe we finally get down to my point.
I think you figure out.
You know, I think it wraps around Vereen, and filling in Randall's numbers.
Appreciate
matching
it, Len.
Randall's numbers.
We got to run, pal. And I think volume for Vereen maybe isn't where he gets his improvement, but I think if you can get more, you know, bigger plays out of him where he catches, makes a guy miss and runs, more explosive plays. Maybe that's a better word for it, out of Vereen. And by the way, I knew I was right. I didn't remember anybody say that. So Dan Salamone confirmed that. No one ever said anything about there not being captains. I'm not sure where that came from. Make believe I didn't say that. I throw that away. I saw that rumor somewhere. Ignore. Does not exist. Because no one knows more about what's going on than my buddy Dan Salamone. I should have Dan to come down here and do like 20 minutes. It's very uncomfortable. No, he's not going to want to do it. He's not going to want to do it. I've tried to get into that before. I mean, come on. You get that beard on here for 20 minutes. It's fantastic. Get his beard with eyes and stash. I mean, it's like a facial hair extravaganza. 201-939-4513. But, yeah, I mean, look, I think Len is a good point. How much more are you getting out of the offense? And I think those are the areas where you can improve, especially in the red zone. But look, I mean, you can't get much better than the 7th-ranked offense, right, or the 8th-ranked offense. You're not going to get significantly better, and that's why the Giants in their offseason did most of their work on the defense. And you got to hope the defense goes from 31st or wherever they wound up, depending on what stat you want to use, 32nd, whatever, to being middle of the road, being, you know, top 10. That'd be great. You know, I think you're asking a little bit much in year one to go from 32 to 10 or 8, but if Vernon plays like he did the final 8 games for a whole season, you got a shot. If JPP plays like he did 3 years ago, you got a shot. If he gets that club off, he can tackle. You got a shot. If one of these young safeties steps up, if Collins makes a big step in year 2, you got a shot. You know, that's why they made all those moves on defense. 201-939-4513. Don in Florida's up next. Don, how are you?
Hey, John, how are you?
Doing today? Great, Don. How are you?
The previous speaker actually started to address where I was going. You know, you can mention Hillier, you can mention Toomer, you can mention even Tyree. But to me, Eli had a lot more time because of the line in front of him. They were opening up the holes for the running game, which made the passing game that much better.
I agree.
So I had to pick a receiver. You got to look at what Beckham's done over the last several years because of the fact without Cruz being alongside of him, he's the only one that the Giants can consistently count on to be able to be productive. More importantly, okay, when you're putting your best cornerback and your best safety just on Beckham and still gets open for those major league touchdowns,
yep,
you got to say he's the best so far to come through the system.
I agree. I think individually he's the most dynamic player, frankly, at any position that I've seen since I've been with the team in 2007. Athletically, the only guy that matches him is David Wilson, but he was never able to translate that athleticism to production, and obviously the neck injury shortened his career. So I agree. Look, I think Beckham stands alone. He might be the most explosive player in Giants history, and that's saying something given how long the Giants have been around.
I think that last year I was a little bit more impressed with Eli as he became a little bit more mobile. He needs to at least – I know he's not a mobile quarterback, but when he's got – open field in front of him, and he could potentially get the first down, he's got to take that shot. Also, the fact that I looked at Darkwa last year versus Rashad Jennings in the second half, Darkwa, to me, far outplayed Jennings. And I don't know if Jennings didn't want to hit the hole because of the line, but Darkwa showed me something that he really wanted to play. I wanted to get your thoughts on that because I think this year he could make one hell of a running back.
You know, I hesitate to go overboard over a handful of carries. And I think it's – and look, I'm done. I'm not telling you that Darkwa can't run. I know Howard Cross, who I talked to the entire game, I'm on headsets with him as he does the games from the sideline for us on the radio. And he loves Darkwa. He thinks he's the most decisive and best running back that they had last year. That being said, I am loath to – put too much credence into a couple of runs from a running back. I think playing running back is easy when you only have to carry it four or five times a game. I think it's much tougher when you have to do it from 16 to 18 times. You take a pounding on your body, you slow down, and I think it's much more difficult to sustain that sort of production over a longer period of time than do it over a handful of carries. I know he had that one game where he had carries in the teens and he did pretty well. I know that. But not sure that he can do it for that many carries in a game. Now, am I willing to give him a shot in a preseason game here? Because he didn't have that shot last year because he wasn't here? Absolutely. Let's see Darkwa get 18 carries in the first preseason game or in the fourth preseason game. And let's see what he does with it. Then I think we'll have a better feel for it.
I agree with you, but I really would like to see him get a chance. Last comment. I really think Eric Flowers needs to stay on the left side because Eli needs that back protection. And I really believe that Bobby Hart will show himself to be the player that everyone expected him to be and be the right tackle for this coming year. And that's my comment. Hopefully you agree with me.
Yeah, we'll see. Thanks. I mean, I think it'll be great. I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. And I think, if you can have Bobby Hart, a late-round offensive lineman, develop into a starting caliber player, I think that's a fantastic thing. I haven't seen enough to think he's there yet, but we'll see what he does in minicamp and training camp and OTAs. That's why they're here, to see what these younger guys can do. How he does, I don't know. We'll find out. Chris in Florida. We stay down in the Sunshine State. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, John?
What's up, bud? How are you?
Everything is good, but before I get to the topics I called on, I just want to critique on what you talked about with Darkwa.
Okay.
And what Len was talking about.
Sure.
All right. So, Len, before I forget, I think Len is great with the numbers, but I think what he's missing with those numbers is Eli likes to throw to the big guy. If you're not a big guy, he wants to be able to read your cuts. And that's why he's so good with Cruz. Now, Victor is healthy, we don't have to worry about replacing Ruben Randle numbers. We're going to be off the charts.
Well, you're assuming Cruz is healthy.
Assuming, you know what? I'm not even worried about Cruz being healthy, because the Sterling kid looks like he's going to fill in for Ruben Randle even better than Ruben Randle filled in for Ruben Randle.
No, I hear you, but remember, be careful putting too much on the shoulders of a rookie in his first year. Even some of the best wide receivers, it takes them time to become what they become. So,
Hakeem Nicks time. Oh, which gets me
a little bit. Well,
before I get to that.
Yeah.
What you said about Darkwa, I understand, but remember when Brandon Jacobs and Amar Bradshaw, before they actually became a tandem, we were giving more carries to the third guy who ended up being a bum in every other team he played for.
Derek Ward?
I forgot his name.
Derek Ward?
Derek Ward, yeah. He was great with us, but everybody else he played for, he was terrible. But I wanted Brandon and Amar to share the load sooner than what they did, and it turned out Amar was fantastic. You got to give Darkwood the benefit of the doubt. That kid, and if what you say about all those reps wearing down your starter or your main running back is as accurate as I believe you are, then that's even more reason to give him half of the snaps or at least a third. Give Shane, Darkwell, and Jennings a third of the weight each. You feel me?
No, I hear you. Look, I think that's a possibility. I don't think that's out of the question. I think Dark will have his chance. I think this is going to be a huge competition. You have six good running backs on this roster. Let's see what they can do. May the best man win.
I hope they hold on to five, and that's only because of injury.
Oh,
reasons,
absolutely.
You know?
Look, though, I agree.
Because I remember.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think you'll have more than four on the final 53. They're going to have to make some tough decisions.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because we look like we're going to have great competition at tight end, at wide receiver, and at running back on the offensive side. Now, with what I called about to answer your question about the wide receiver duo.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Phil McConkie and Lionel Emmanuel.
Wow, you're going old school. Where's Paul Dottino? He would have got very excited about that.
Yeah, tell Paul, say what's up. But nah, it's hands down. Odell Beckham Jr. Man, he's just ridiculous. You know, I think we're all feeling a little bit Paul Dottino-ish with the enthusiasm and expectations of what's going to happen with Victor being healthy and assuming Victor's healthy and assuming Sterling Sharp really fits in really well.
Shepherd.
And having Harrison in for what, his second year?
Yes.
You know, having Shane Vereen in with us for his second year, you know, maybe getting some cohesion and gel happening with the offensive line. I think Sean O'Hara said it best, and I know Chris Lee and David Deal also said the same thing. Like, the big thing about those guys, those I think should be Hall of Fame linemen, it was the way they worked together.
Look, an offensive line is only as good as the sum of its parts, and they have to work together. You have to have chemistry. And as individuals, you know, those weren't guys, the David Deals, the O'Haras, the Soyberts, these weren't guys that, you know, are doing great numbers at the combine and were, you know, first round picks, but they worked well together. They were smart.
Exactly.
They operated well as a team. And look, that's a big part of it. And you hope that this group being together now for a second year begins to develop some of that. I think you saw it a little bit in the running game at the end of last year where the running game got better. You hope that carries forward. What you don't like is that I think you saw a little bit more pass pressure off a right tackle end of last year. You hope that doesn't continue that trend.
Okay.
Appreciate the call, my man.
All right. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. I'm going to go through some tweets here. We got 10 more before we hit one or two more calls before we say goodbye. This one from Big Daddy Mang. At Fat Daddy 43, Orleans Darko was being wasted on the bench like Andre Brown was because Coughlin didn't trust young players. McAdoo may set them loose. Well, Guys, with A.J. Brown, look, he had an injury, he left. He had opportunities to make other teams. It never worked out for A.J. So it's not like he, like, left the Giants and blew up anywhere. He had his own problems. So I wouldn't get too worried about A.J. Brown. Ben Koveyu, it'll be answered after this year. It's OBJ and anybody else not named Randall, probably Cruz or it could be Shepard. A.J. Marshall makes a good point. Offensive line has to get better at run blocking. That has been the problem on the right side, ranked bottom of the league in that category. I agree, A.J. You want to see more push in the run game from that side of the line. The pass protection from John Jerry was more than adequate. It was a, he did a good job protecting Eli at right guard. But again, end of the year, I think you saw some pressure coming off that right tackle spot that you want to try to get better at this year. But generally speaking, the run game did get better as last year went along. Let's see what else he got here. At Easy BKNY, likes Cruz, Nix, and Manningham, the trio. He thinks that can be recreated with ODB, Cruz, and Shepard. Don't forget, too, Toomer, Plexico, Steve Smith. Very good underrated combination because Steve Smith was really an excellent player before he got hurt. I know he wasn't at his best that rookie year with those two guys, but Steve Smith was really, really good. Angel Ortega, excuse me. Who do you believe will emerge as the starter at the other safety spot besides Landon Collins? Oh, boy. That is a tough question. I'm going to pass on that because I just don't know. I think my favorites are Burhey, Jackson, and Thompson. If I had to narrow it down to three, I'd give them the edge over the Cooper Towers and Michael Thompsons. If I had to guess now, I'd say Bennett Jackson. Just a guess. Now, he has to stay healthy, and that's the key for him. He hasn't been able to. Two knee surgeries in 2 years. But I think he gives the coverage ability that you like. I think Burhey's better around the line of scrimmage and tackling than he is in coverage. And I hate to say it's a rookie safety is going to start week one. Could Darian Thompson be starting week 10? Eh, maybe. But I don't know. Starting safety, rookie week one, it happens. Look at Landon Collins last year, but I don't like predicting things like that. Let's see what else you got here. Citizen K. Hey, John. Question for BBKL. All right, I'll ask it right here. Who do you think will be the most dominant wide receiver in 2016-17 with Sterling added and Cruz back? I mean, obviously Beckham is, but if Cruz is healthy, I think I give the nod over him over Shepard because, again, it takes some rookies a little bit, some time to get back into the to get into the swing of things in the NFL. Freddie, this is a good one, actually. JT Thomas could be a leader on the defense. I'll tell you what, he has the personality for it. He's a smart guy. He's chatty. His teammates love him. He wasn't on the field a ton last year. He has to get on the field more to be a captain, but I think he certainly has the intangibles for it. I am Will Ruiz. Eli Manning will be the captain on this team so he can kill the nonsense. Talking defense, Will. I'm not talking offense. We know Eli's the offensive captain. He's a defensive captain. Albert likes JPP. DJ One Life says we need to bring in somebody that'll be a leader. He mentions Antro Roll. He's a free agent, by the way. Landon Collins or Jonathan Hankins. Hankins, again, a veteran on that defensive line. But, again, never really felt him as a leadership type on the defensive line. Great guy. Love him. Big teddy bear. Let's see. What else do we got here? Anything interesting? Someone did tweet me. I thank you for that. The Dan Graziano article on trading Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. I will take a look at that when I have the chance. In fact, as we take this next call, I'll give a quick read of Dan. 201-939-4513. In the meantime, we've got three calls. Oh, boy. I got to squeeze you guys all in now. Let's go. Chris in Florida. Have we taken Chris already? Dave, we did, right? All right, so Chris is gone. Richie in Long Island, he's up next. Richie, what's up?
Hey, good to talk to you, John.
Richie, what's up?
Not much. So I wanted to ask for the OTAs next week, is it media access all days that the OTAs are?
They give media access once a week during OTA. So I believe media access next week is on Monday. So that'll be OTA number one. So we'll have some coverage of practice and stuff on Monday.
Okay, that's good to know. And when's the next OTAs after that?
They have three OTAs next week. I don't know the days offhand, but then the next media availability isn't until the following week.
Oh, okay. And also, just wanted to talk a little bit about Jay Brownlee. Like, I know he's going to have to, you know, fill in as, like, the kind of pass-rushing defensive tackle role now, you know, with Hankins and Williams in there. But did you see, like, an improvement from him from, like, his rookie year to the second year last year that he had?
I think where you've seen the improvement with Jay has been his body. I think he's certainly gotten more of an NFL body. But I think you want to see that now turn into production on the field. We haven't seen that uptick in production that you want to see, and this is a real important year for him to get it, because I agree. I think given what he did at Syracuse, he was a tackle for loss sack guy at Syracuse. He's one of those guys that can be a penetrator. He can get into the backfield. So I think a lot of people will be watching Jay, because I think the pressure is on a little bit this offseason. I'm on board with your point.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I'm hoping he succeeds. You know, I hope he really turns into a really good defensive tackle. But, yeah, I think this is, you know, pretty much like the show me here, this third year in. So he has to, you know, kind of, you know, put in, you know, the work necessary. But, yeah, that's all I had. Questions just for Jay Brownlee. You know, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling, Rich. I appreciate it. Look, I can tell you, Jay's here a lot working out. I mean, the guy works at it. He tries. But now let's see it translate to some production on game day. I just kind of went through real quick the Graziano article. His argument, and I get where he's coming from, that he is such a huge contract number in 2017, the chance of him being on the roster with that contract number is small. So why not trade him and get something for him? That's the gist of the article. And I get it, I guess. But I don't think you can afford to lose him this year. I mean, are you comfortable with your top three corners being Jenkins, a rookie, and Trevin Wade? I don't know. And one of the free agents, by the way, that was out there at corner, got signed today. Jerod Powers, I believe, went to Baltimore. Dave, did you see that? Jerod Powers, he gets signed with the Ravens? I think that's correct. But he did sign with the team today. So that was a guy that had previously been linked to the Giants, but he did sign elsewhere today. 201-939-4513, final call of the show, is JC in Phoenix. JC, you wrap us up today, big man.
All right, how you doing?
Doing great, JC. What's going on with you?
Oh, we're doing all right over here in Arizona. Just wanted to talk about a rumor and see what you thought about it. You don't have to get into details as far as his contract goes.
Yeah.
But what would you think if they traded Cromartie for a right tackle of someone, if somebody would be interested? Would you be... up for that? We could take it off the air, and I have one more thing. Would you be up for something like that?
He better be a damn good right tackle. He better be a damn good right tackle if I'm making that trade. And I mean a Pro Bowl caliber tackle.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not a bad idea. I mean, I love Cromartie, but you know, he's getting older. We might even save some money. You know what I mean? And we have a few corners in there, you know, and some safeties that can play corner as well. And, you know, it's not a bad thought. I mean, I think I would, you know, definitely entertain it. And then my question to take off the air would be, besides Dabble, okay, is there another receiver, undrafted, that can possibly make the team or maybe outplay Jeremy Davis? And, you know, hope you have a good rest of your day there, John.
I appreciate it. Look, you got a couple of rookie wide receivers in here that are undrafted. Darius Poe, the kid out of California. You got Roger Powell, the kid out of Bowling Green. Those are undrafted free agents. They have a chance to outplay Jeremy Davis? Sure they do. Jeremy Davis had trouble working his way onto the field last year. So the pressure's on him to, you know, step it up and get the job done. And, you know, is he even going to beat out Dante Foster, a first-year guy out of Ohio? Is he going to beat out Miles White? I don't know. But he'll try. Here's the OTA schedule, by the way, before we say goodbye, just so you have it. Media again, OTA number one is May 23rd. That's Monday. That is media access. The next media access day is Wednesday, June 1st, then Monday, June 6th. So those are your three media access days for OTAs. Overall, I'll give you the schedule. OTAs, three next week, May 23rd, 24th, and 26th. So that's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Wednesday, the guys are here. They're lifting. There's just no technical OTA. Then they get them off Friday and Monday for Memorial Day weekend. They're back on June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and 6th for OTAs 4, 5, 6, and 7. So they'll get in the mix there. That's, I believe, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then they have their final four OTAs June 6th, 7th, 9th, and 10th. So there you go. That's where it kind of breaks down. So they go 3, 3, and 4 in terms of the OTAs per week. And the final media access for OTAs is Monday, June 6th. And then mandatory minicamp is June 14th to 16th, which is access every day. And then we don't see the players again until training camp. I think July 28th is when training camp starts this year, right? So that'll be about 6 weeks or so before training camp starts, and we'll have coverage for that, of course, on Giants.com. Make sure you check it out. Well, Jeff Fiegels isn't with me tomorrow. Maybe we'll have a beat writer on to talk a little bit about OTAs and preview that. We haven't talked to one of our good beat guys in a while. We'll get him on. We'll take your calls as well. Stay tuned to Giants.com. My interview with Bennett Jackson actually just went up yesterday. It's a good spot. Check it out. Bennett gave you some good stuff on his rehab, what's going on, the secondary, and all that stuff. So I'll speak for myself. I think it was a damn good interview. But check it out, and I hope you learned something. Thanks for joining us. For no one, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time on Giants.com. Thanks for carrying me on Big Blue Kickoff Live, solo Schmelk. Praise to the calls. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.